Now I know what it's like to attend your own funeral. Over the past few weeks, I've been finding it very hard not to get a little bit sentimental and a little bit sad. This week has been, there's been a lot of lasts. The week before I announced my retirement, unbeknownst to you, it was my last Easter. Some of you knew the significance of that last Easter. I've now chaired my last parish council meeting and various other committees. Last week was my last staff meeting, although we didn't do much work, we drank coffee. And the last switchback, kids club. I've been to my last midweek service, last nursing home service. And today it's my last service with you as your pastor. I've also found myself being quite reflective over the past nearly 13 years. I've thought about the people I've ministered to and the things we've done together. I've reflected on what I might have accomplished and what I could have done better. One thing I do keep returning to is the goodness of God. He has graciously allowed me to serve this congregation for almost 13 years, and what a joy that has been. As we reflect together this morning, let's focus on what Christian ministry is all about. Because we're all continuing to serve in Christian ministry. I may be retiring. That word just doesn't seem to fit me anyway. I may be retiring as senior minister at Blacktown, but I'll find other ways to exercise my ministry in a variety of new opportunities. And of course, you will continue to do ministry right here in Blacktown. So what is Christian ministry? Christian ministry is a gift of God. In the passage we heard from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it begins, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." The ministry Paul speaks of course, is all about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. The ministry of God's word seeks to lead people towards commitment in Christ. And gospel ministry continues to build up God's people into maturity in Christ. There could be no greater privilege than this ministry of the living and active word of God. What a joy it is to declare the good news about Jesus and the new covenant sealed with his blood. The solemn agreement God makes with us assures us of forgiveness and reconciliation with him. It's a covenant of life, eternal life, that goes on forever. God's covenant is an astonishing display of his mercy to sinners. The ministry of God's word introduces people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people come to know Jesus, they come face to face with God himself. And that changes people forever. As Paul said in verse 18 of the previous chapter, "We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." God, in his generosity, has entrusted this ministry to me also. What a joy it is to see people's lives changed as they begin following Jesus. What a joy it is to see people growing spiritually and transformed as they become more and more like Jesus. In the last few weeks, many of you have told me, either to my face or in letters or cards, how you have grown in recent years. And you've no idea how much that has encouraged me. Stop it. Good grief. Be professional, says Anne. Be professional. Look, there have been many disappointments. Some people have not responded to God's word. Some have rejected the Lord Jesus and walked away from him. But I rejoice, nonetheless, that so often our Father has allowed me to be in the right place at the right time. And to have a part in changing lives for eternity through the ministry of his word. I'm most grateful to God for all that I've experienced in this ministry here amongst you. The ministry is about the gospel, and the gospel is a straightforward message. Paul says in verse 5, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake." The Christian message is simple and clear. You may remember back on the 15th of September 2005 what I said at my induction. No, I forgot as well, but I looked it up. This is what I said on that occasion. Our life and message is simple and straightforward. In a word, it is Jesus. In a sentence, it is Jesus is Lord. Together, we will live out Jesus is Lord as we learn from his written word, the Bible. Trust his promises and joyfully obey his commands. And together, we will tell everyone we can that Jesus is Lord and invite them to submit to his loving lordship and trust him as their saviour. That's what I said nearly 13 years ago. The simple message that Jesus is Lord is confronting. The message doesn't go down well in our culture. It never has. It is nothing new that people object to the demand to surrender their lives to Jesus alone. And so preachers in every age have been under pressure to focus on other things. Sadly, some have given in to the pressure to make the message popular and acceptable. As well, preaching is a public, high-profile ministry. The preacher faces great temptation to promote himself and let others put him on a pedestal. If people admire him for his ability in the pulpit, he may be tempted to cultivate that admiration. And so rather than serve up the strong demands of the Lordship of Christ, he may dilute the word of God to make it more palatable. And rather stretch his hearers' minds with the deep things of God, he may instead tickle their ears with the things they want to hear. And in preparing this sermon, my sinful nature wants to go out with a memorable last message that we'll be talking about for weeks to come. The heart is deceitful above all things, said Jeremiah, and desperately sick, who can understand it? But the Christian minister must not promote himself, but serve God's people by seeking their welfare. As Paul says in verse 2, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So the Christian minister declares the simple, powerful truth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, the man who came to save his people from their sins by dying for them on the cross. Christ, the long-promised Messiah, the King in the kingdom of God. Lord, the name given to the Almighty God, to whom everyone must bow in allegiance. To proclaim that Jesus is Lord means we call on men and women to turn away from sin and trust him to forgive them and grant them new life through his death and resurrection. To receive Jesus as Lord means to submit to him as absolute sovereign. If the preacher honestly spells out what it means for Jesus to be Lord over the lives of people, that will sometimes involve saying hard things about sinful behavior. That will offend stubborn hearts. And I know that some people have left this congregation because of things that I've said, not clumsily, but declaring the truth. The faithful preacher may be attacked for it. But if the preacher himself submits to the Lordship of Christ and preaches that message, then he will be content to be derided or despised or forgotten. All he wants is for people to come to know and honour Christ. That's all that matters. On this matter, I have a clear conscience before God and this congregation. As the apostle put it, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Salvation is by God's power. As I reflect on my time here, I'm painfully aware of my frailty and shortcomings. As Paul says in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." This is the paradox of a Christian minister, a precious treasure deposited in a cheap clay pot. Do not ever put your minister on a pedestal. He's nothing more than a clay pot that when it gets cracked, gets thrown out. That's all he is. That's all he ever will be. Do not elevate him. Honor him for his office, sure, but do not elevate him. He is merely a cheap clay pot. I spoke before of disappointments I've had with people who have not obeyed God's word, and I'm sure that I have disappointed people here as well. My father once admitted to me that he'd made many mistakes as a father. I agreed. Indeed, I could remember some of them. And he said, "Well, we'd better not compare notes. You might remember things I've forgotten, and I might remember things you've forgotten." And so we never did swap stories of his parental mistakes. Nor am I now going to stand here and recount my mistakes and failures as your pastor. The ones I could mention might not have occurred to you, and I certainly don't want to add to your list of my faults. The point is, despite my faults and failings, God has been at work in this congregation. As a precious jewel shines more brightly in a plain setting, so God's power is more clearly seen when the gospel is entrusted to a fallible, sinful man. We have achieved great things in the past 13 years, but we can never, g'day Harry, we can never congratulate ourselves, for it has been due entirely to God's grace and power. As the old Saint Augustine said, "O Lord, everything good in me is due to you. The rest is my fault." And that's how it must be. We long to see people turn back to God, so we tell them about Jesus. But we know their conversion doesn't depend on us or our powers of persuasion. That's why we pray hard for them, for we know it happens only by God's power. Paul explains, in fact, that people are naturally blind to the gospel, the good news that Jesus is Lord. He says in verse 3, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world, or better, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Satan has blinded them. Who can possibly open their blind eyes so that they can gaze on God's glory in Christ? He says in verse 6, "God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's who can open blind eyes. Just as Jesus opened blind eyes when he was on the earth, so God still opens blind eyes to the glory of Christ displayed in the gospel. Praise God that he has shown his power in this way, in this congregation, many, many times. So despite the pain of knowing my weaknesses, I can say with Paul, we do not lose heart. And I rejoice in all that he's accomplished despite me. In fact, that has often been my prayer for you. Lord, please bless them despite me. But now I'm leaving you, and my ministry in Blacktown comes to an end. But my calling to proclaim the good news continues. I'm certainly not retiring from Christian ministry. I'll be able to serve in the new church that Anne and I will join. I'm looking forward to being the acting rector in churches that are between ministers, and no, I'm not available for Blacktown. I expect to do more on Radio 2CH. I'll continue my contact with the Blackout Theatre Company so I can have opportunities to minister there. Who else knows what God has in store? And so I'll continue to live and proclaim the Lordship of Christ to the glory of God wherever I am. And what of the congregation of God here at Blacktown Anglican Church? Your ministry also continues, whether you have a senior minister for the next little while or not. In my first sermon here, I said, and you'll remember this well, I said, do you think Jesus is wonderful? Do you love him for who he is, the eternal Son of God, the mighty Creator, glorious Sustainer and loving Lord of the universe? Do you love him for what he has done? He gave his life to win your forgiveness. By his Spirit, he walks beside you as he works all things together for your good. Do you think Jesus is wonderful? Then tell someone, tell people how wonderful he is. There is a verse I quoted on my first Sunday here, a verse worth remembering that has been somewhat of a theme of my ministry here. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is why you're called, to glorify God by proclaiming his greatness and his mercy. As our paths now head off in different directions, we continue to be partners in the ministry of the gospel. That bond will never be dissolved. May God, who is rich in mercy, continue to glorify his name through us as we live under the lordship of Christ and as we use our various gifts and our various opportunities to proclaim that glorious saving message that Jesus is Lord and the Saviour of all who trust him. Now, I'm about to do something that I take absolutely no responsibility for. A couple of people said I should do this, and it wasn't Anne. And I've only ever done this by invitation. I'm going to sing you a song.
I'm not used to this. Seriously, I'm not used to playing the piano.
You gave your all when you died on the tree to rescue me and make me truly free. For such love, what else can I do? I want to give my all to serve and honor you. Please give me all I need to serve you. Give me all I need to glorify your name. Spread your fame. That's really all I need. I'm ambitious, but not for fame. I don't want to immortalize my name. No, it's not. No, it's not for gold or silver too. I'm ambitious, Lord, to serve and honor you. Please give me all I need. Serve you. Give me all I need to glorify your name. Spread your fame. That's really all I need. But you've answered my prayer. All I need's already there. You've given me ability, so much opportunity, and you're always there beside me. given all I need to serve you.